1320 AM and W248DE broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Staples.
I'm Christopher Cruz. The latest attempt to pass a short-term funding bill that would have kept the government from shutting down this weekend has failed in the House. White House Budget Director Shalonda Young spoke before the vote.
This is not hard. It is not meant to come back and negotiate and redo things we just agreed to do 3 months ago. It is to keep the government open.
It's a disgrace.
That's how the president describes the situation, saying a government shutdown would affect millions of federal workers and their families and millions of military service members.
Our service members will keep upholding their oath, showing up for work, standing sentinel around the world, keeping our country secure, but they won't get paid.
And Mr. Biden says Congress needs to know that its actions or lack of actions have consequences for real people.
We can't be playing politics while our troops stand in the breach.
Linda Kenyon, CBS News, the White House.
In New York City today, subways were flooded after torrential rain fell. Odyssey New York reporter Samantha Liebman says people scrambled to keep the water out.
It just started to come down and quickly turned the streets of Maspeth into rivers. Water coming out of manholes and basement garages quickly turning into ponds. Rosaldo was out early trying to prevent that from happening to his garage.
You got to do what you got to do because it's too much work once it gets in the house. So.
2x4s and cinder block at the top of his driveway to hopefully prevent the $10,000 in damage he had from Ida.
Hurricane Ida struck 2 years ago. Thousands more auto workers walked off the job today, but one company is pushing back.
An expanded strike, says Ford CEO Jim Farley, could mean 325 to 500,000 layoffs among auto suppliers. A bad contract, he says, could mean fewer investments and fewer jobs long term.
What is at stake here is the future of the domestic auto industry.
Farley says they're close on economic issues, but the big hang-up is with pay for future workers at EV battery plants. The UAW calls that a misrepresentation. Jeff Gilbert, CBS News, Detroit.
California Senator Dianne Feinstein has died. She was 90. Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren says it's a big loss.
She was a pathbreaker at a time when it was even harder for women to be in leadership roles. She fought tirelessly for gun legislation to ban assault weapons.
One of the last living witnesses to the killing of rapper Tupac Shakur in Las Vegas in 1996 has been arrested and indicted on a murder charge. The Dow is down 103 points. This is CBS News.
Staples stores provide innovative products and services for small business, remote workers and learners, even teachers and parents. Explore more at your local Staples store.
Welcome to the Continental.
From the world of John Wick comes a Peacock original three-part event that takes us back to 1970s New York. The Continental.
This institution wields power beyond your imagination.
Let's take this house and everything that comes with it.
The Continental, from the world of John Wick. Streaming now.
And away we go.
Only on Peacock.
Now at Staples, the prices of HP printers are dropping. Save on HP Smart Tank and enjoy even more savings on ink. Save on the HP Inkjet, perfect for high-quality pics. Save on HP Laser printers, great for tackling high-volume document printing. Now through September 30th, save on Staples' entire selection of HP printers, some as low as $69.99. With HP printer price drops at Staples, now is the time to upgrade to HP, America's most trusted printer brand. See staples.com/HP for details.
The morning show on WFHR. It's informative.
Have neither of you been on sleigh rides before?
Yeah, never, never. No. I've never been on.
Really? Mm-hmm. I've been on like dozens. Oh, my gosh.
We gotta do
and that. I don't even like winter.
What kind of life are you living, Seth?
He was way up in the, he was in the, like really.
Northern Minnesota, yeah. I mean, come on.
Every neighbor has a sleigh in their barn.
Big words from someone from Toma.
Oh, it's on now, bro.
Every weekday from 8 to 10 on locally grown radio.
For WFHR and WIRI, I'm Melissa Kay. Following is a list of meetings in the listening area for Monday, October 2nd. In Wood County, the Property and Information Technology Committee will meet at 9 a.m. at the courthouse in room 114. The Wisconsin Rapids Planning Commission will meet at 4 in the council chambers at City Hall. The Wisconsin Rapids Board of Education Board Committee meetings will take place beginning at 6 at the Peach Street Board Office. In Portage County, the Health and Human Services Board will meet at 4:30, and the Executive Operations Committee will meet at 5. The Village of Whiting Plan Commission will meet at 6 at the Village of Whiting Municipal Center. In Adams County, the CJCC will meet from 3:30 to 4:30 at the Adams County Courthouse. Today is the final day to drop off books for the community book sale at the Moravian Church in Wisconsin Rapids. The sale will take place October 12th through the 14th. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI, Civic Media News.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Lows dip down to about 57. Tonight, under partly cloudy skies, winds out of the south, 5 to 10 miles per hour. A blend of clouds and sun again. Tomorrow, slight chance for scattered showers. Highs level off around 80. Partly cloudy skies. Tomorrow night, slight chance for scattered storms. Lows dip down to about 63. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 68.
Welcome, everyone, to Midday Magazine for the September 29th, 2023. Have your host, James J. Mailoff, here. At 3:30, we're going to welcome in Reverend Beth Habhager, talk about the community book sale taking place at the Wisconsin Rapids Moravian Church. But right now, we have some of our favorite people in. We're talking with Sally Kistner, Executive Director of the Arts Council. Sally, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Thanks for being here.
You bet. We
got our friend Eric Brittenacher from the Performing Arts Center here. Eric, good to see you.
Good morning.
And we are here to talk with also Sean Johnson. Sean is going to be joining us with his big band experience on October 12th at the Performing Arts Center. Sean, good afternoon.
Thanks for having me, James.
Thanks for being here. Really appreciate the time. Sally and Eric and I will talk in a minute a little bit about the show itself and when people can get tickets and a lot of those details. But Sean, if you don't mind, I wanted to take a second to get to know you a little bit. Can you tell us a little of your origin story, a little bit of where you're from and that?
Yeah, I kind of grew up all around the entire United States. My dad was in the military, but we settled in Iowa for my formative years, I would say. So I'm a Midwestern kid, maybe not by birth, but we decided to stay in the Midwest for college. And after that, I started an a cappella group, toured around the world, and then a couple of years ago started this big band because I always liked the sound of big band. I always liked that kind of music and thought how cool it would be to raise a little money for charity and start something like this.
Sean, I think that's awesome, and we love talking fellow Midwesterners around here, so that's always nice. And I'm curious, Sean, you've got such a great voice, and you have a very versatile voice from what I can hear. Not saying that I know anything about music, but a music fan, I see a lot of range in your voice. What was it about this type of music that made you want to perform this style?
Well, I very much appreciate you saying that, first off. I think you're very kind. I think a cappella was weird because when I started out singing a cappella, I wasn't really a fan of it, but that was the band that I started out of college, and, like I said, and it was so raw, and it was just the human voice, so I think you had to work on it a lot, at least I did, and I thought, okay, I like singing, but to be able to do 300 shows a year and to figure out how to manipulate your voice to do different songs that maybe other people in the group wanted to do, I just thought that took a lot of skills and work that I didn't have and that I continued to work on. And big band, I feel like, is a music that has all this passion and emotion, and it's something else I'm learning. It's so funny being with some of the guys in the band because the instrumentalists have a different way of talking than I was ever used to as a vocalist. So I'm also learning on that side of the musical equation, but it's definitely something I continue to work on and continue to expand. So I really appreciate it. I literally take voice lessons every week. I'm always warming up. Just, it's one of those things when we go in and do master classes at schools and such, they're always like, oh, do you just sing? You just do this? I'm like, oh, no. It's like a lot of work, at least for me. I'm sure there are people who are super talented and can just get up in the morning and sing an aria, but that's not me.
I was already a fan of yours, Sean, but I didn't know I was going to come out of this interview admiring you so much. Somebody at your skill level, I could see sitting back and be like, I'm good. I know how to do this singing thing and just kind of sit back. But the people that I admire the most in this world are the people that are so good at something, and yet, you know what, I can get better. Because there's very few things in life you can't work with and tinker with and try to fine-tune and get better at. I admire that very much, man. That's very cool.
Well, thank you for saying that. If it helps any, I'm also learning how to play guitar.
Nice, nice. Very cool, very cool. Also learned to play guitar. Very cool. Sean, when it comes to influences, what were some of the bigger influences you had growing up?
Yeah, you know, it's funny because now that I'm singing big band, I didn't realize that a lot of the people I really love that my grandparents listened to, my parents listened to, I didn't actually know it was big band. I'm not really all that bright. And sometime I had a friend not too long ago when I was starting this say, you know, all the stuff you're always listening to and you're making us listen to? Yeah, that's big band. And I'm like, oh, it is? And I kind of took a deep dive into a lot of these artists. Because growing up, you know, I listened to just everything on the radio. I was kind of probably like many people stuck in sort of the age they grew up in, maybe. And I listened to stuff, as I mentioned, that my parents and grandparents listened to, and I liked it a lot, but I think I rediscovered much of that. I took a really deep dive into Frank Sinatra, and it was one of those things, like, you know, I knew who he was, but man, once you start to learn about sort of the human voice, and once you see what he was doing and how much skill it took for what he did, I think that's where it all started for me in some ways as a big band kind of vocalist. Hmm. But there's a million other people from Ella Fitzgerald to, I mean, it's just going down the band leaders. It was so, so crazy. And I also was like, man, some of this stuff is just dying. I didn't really know very many people who had one foot in that and maybe one foot in the present as well. So we definitely try to do that. We don't try to necessarily imitate some of those people, because I can't sing like Frank Sinatra. I wish I could. but we like the style. We like to put that imprint on our music. We like to use those arrangements, that crazy, you know, the horn blowing, and like I said, the emotion, and then do your own style with it. So put your songs into it, put songs that people know into it, and a nod to those greats as well.
Thank you for bringing that up. We're speaking with Sean Johnson, Emmy Award-winning singer, songwriter, who's going to be joining us here in town on October 12th with his big band experience. Sean, you mentioned some of my favorite artists. I'm a diehard jazz fan, love jazz, grew up on it. But you touch on something that I think is really important when it comes to this type of genre of music and keeping it alive, keeping life in it. I've heard Harry Connick Jr. talk about this before, Michael Bublé, some of these guys mention these things. When it comes to this style of music, one of the things that I would think walking into it would be difficult. I'm an actor, Sean, and I played Sherlock Holmes a couple years ago. And I don't know if you've noticed this, but a lot of people have played Sherlock over the years. It's hard to play a character like that and not do what Benedict Cumberbatch did or Robert Downey Jr. did or something. It's hard to put your own spin on these things. It's one of the things that I find not so much difficult, but a good challenge when it comes to being creative. I've got a version that of your That's Life that I'm going to play for the audience here after our interview was done. And it's one of my favorite versions of your music. I've got a lot of your music on my playlist. That's one of my favorites. But what I like about it is what you were just talking about. You did a tribute, but you did your own thing. How do you find that balance? How do you find that balance of tributing a great song like that while also putting your own spin on it?
Wow, you're asking some good questions, James. At some point, when we have more time, I got to find out what you did with Sherlock here. So I can ask you the same question.
Yes, yes. It's only fair. It's
you know,
only
what's
fair.
Funny, well, it's sort of funny to me, is I came from sort of a pop background. And when we put out our first album in 2019, not too long ago, called Capital, it went to the top five on Billboard on the jazz chart. And I literally had a woman from New York who was in Atlanta, is a long story, but she said, you know, what you do isn't really jazz. And it kind of bummed me out because I was learning about jazz and I was taking a deep dive, as I said, into a lot of these acts. And I will be the first person to tell you, I don't know as much as I could or should. And I'm trying to remedy that. But she said to me, well, what you do is not jazz. And because we were going to do a jazz clinic, but my vocal instructor, who has, like you, probably loves jazz and also is an actor, he said, oh my gosh, Sean, how you stylize vocals is completely jazz. Every night is different. You're taking and bending notes. You're starting sooner. You're starting later. You're putting you in it. And so to answer your question, I'm like, I don't know that I sit down and think, oh, how can I do this different than Frank Sinatra? But I do think in that instance, I can't sing like him. I wish I could. He has so many amazing talents that I admire, But for me, I can take my own experiences in a different life, and I can take that pop background, even though I'm in sort of a jazz sphere. And again, it might not be what, in this instance, a particular woman from New York didn't think was jazz. But the more I dove into it, the more I'm like, oh, you know what? I think she was maybe wrong in this instance, because there is jazz elements. There are big band elements. And yes, she's right. There's also pop elements.
Yeah. I will say this, though. You're one of my favorite jazz singers. To me, you're jazz.
Oh,
you are definitely jazz, sir. Sean, when it comes to the what people are going to be able to take in from this experience, while they are going to get some of those classic big band songs with that wonderful band that you have backing you, you're going to get some other stuff, too, some interesting stuff here. I cannot wait for the audience to get Spider-Man, some of these things. You go from Sinatra to Citizen Cope, and I love being able to mention Citizen Cope. That feels good. What was when you're putting this playlist together, and you and the band, you're thinking about these songs, how do you pick songs? What is your song selection choice process? Boy, I couldn't have made that more wordy. More wordy I could have made that.
Let's see, song selection process. I got it. That's another great question. I think that it's a couple of things for me. One is I just like certain songs. I feel like I could sing this night after night and I could bring something new to it. Two, I think it has to work in the show, and I come from a background of entertaining people. So I have dropped from ceilings. I have made it snow. We have collaboration, special guests. I don't just stand there. There are amazing artists who can do that. Adele is one who can just stand there and sing, and it works for her. But for me, I'm kind of crazy. I can't sit still. So I tend to be all around the stage and in the audience. And again, coming from the a cappella side, we had to entertain people. We were sometimes at a festival between a punk group and a famous country group, and you had to hold your own.
Yeah, yeah.
And so it was definitely something I had to learn to think, how do I, you know, do I light my eyebrows on fire? Do I stand up like that? What do I have to do to draw attention up here? So that is something that I also think about, that, like, besides songs I like, is it going to work with the audience? Does it move them? If they don't know this song, does it move them? If they do know this song, can I get them to love it? Can it be their new favorite? If it's an original, is it worthwhile? I don't just have originals that I write. I also bring in originals from songwriters I write with. But they don't last in the show if people don't care, because I don't want to be like, I wrote this great song, because not every song you write is great. Mm. It's like peeling an onion sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And there's songs that they didn't work, and then with a different introduction at a different part of the show, they become like a cornerstone. So sometimes it's also working with it for a while and seeing, can I make it fit? But I definitely drop a lot of songs. I'm always learning new songs and figuring out every single day it changes. You know, do we need more upbeat? Do we need more roller coaster kind of ride?
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times it's during the show, which my drummer does not. So I was like, what did you say? I'm like, get four songs and go to the third one. it very much depends on the crowd. And
yeah.
I just feel like my job is to get people to say, oh my gosh, I didn't know what to expect, and it blew me out of the water. And then I'm like, good job, all done. If people come up after me and go, hey, good job, I think, oh no, I stunk it up. A couple things I think about.
And I appreciate so much of your answers come and start with the audience and it being about them, and whether it's them playing the music that they want to hear, or giving them a different style of these songs that maybe they aren't used to. And that extends to the kids. You have a student outreach that you're going to be doing along with visiting us here in town. Really appreciate you doing that. Why was it important to you to be a part of that workshop?
Well, we've done a lot of workshops, and I often think, what do I really have to offer? But the more I do these, the more I think, oh my gosh, just standing in that crowd, it brings me back to when I was a kid and people would come in and help. And there are some of the things that I still remember. And working with people of all ages, we don't often get to work with junior high and like grade schools. And we just did one in Ohio. It was so fun. There was so much energy, and it was absolutely insane. But I think because I once stood there and I never thought I'd be a singer. I grew up thinking you have to be a doctor, lawyer, astronaut or something. And the world is so much more open, I think, at this point to any kind of job, especially in the creative side, especially with music, with art. There's just so many opportunities. Before there was 10 gatekeepers, and now, you know, there's really no gatekeeper other than rising above the the noise maybe.
Yeah.
But it is something that I see all these people that want to do something with this type of music, with this type of artist, with this type of song, with this type of idea. And it, to be a tiny, tiny, tiny piece of that is just so thrilling to me. We actually just started a program called Band Geek. And we're doing it with the Wenger Corporation, who does all sort of like staging around the world. And we are launching it in schools that can't normally bring us in. They're helping us fund it. And we are raising money at our shows to also fund for underserved communities and communities like yours as well that just bring us in to do more of those. So I think to give back is the only thing. I'm going to be sitting on my deathbed at some point and be like, what did I do? They're like, wow. there was that trip to Colorado every year. It's like, I'm never going to remember that. I'm going to remember the things, hopefully those tiny, tiny pieces that every person can do. And I hope that this is one of mine.
Wonderful answer and a great conversation. Really good to get to know you and hang out with you a little bit, Sean. Thanks so much for joining us. We cannot wait to have you come to town. We're going to give you a great crowd, and we're going to make sure that we bring you back. We're going to give you such a good show that you're going to want to come back. We appreciate the time, sir.
Oh, thank you so much. And I'm just planning on stopping by the radio station every other day and having a conversation. So
please do. Please. Yeah, I would love that. You would make my day. I'm looking forward to seeing you, man. And enjoy. Have a great run with your tour here, and we'll talk soon.
All right. Thanks, James.
Thank you. Sean Johnson there joining us. Sean, of course, along with his big band experience, going to be joining us here in Wisconsin Rapids at the Performing Arts Center on October 12th. We're going to tell you the details of that and more after we play a little music of Sean's right here. Shot down in May. I know I'm gonna change that tune. When I'm back on top in June, I said that's why. I could listen to him all day. I just cannot get enough of this young man's voice. He is something. That is so much fun, and we are so looking forward to him joining us. October 12th, Sean Johnson and the Big Band Experience, going to be right here in Wisconsin Rapids at the Performing Arts Center. We're speaking with Sally and Eric right now about this show coming up. Sally, let's give people the details of the show.
You bet. Like you said, Thursday, October 12th at 7:30. Tickets are $44 for adults and $10 for students. You can get them at the Arts Council. You can call 715-424-2787 or stop by our office at 1040 8th Street South in Wisconsin Rapids or online, savorthearts.com.
Sally, I'm always curious of how you come across these artists. With this one, I'm not going to be too surprised, I feel like, by the answer. Sean's work has been around for a while, and he's one of those guys that I think if you like crooners, if you like jazz, you might have heard him before. But just out of curiosity, how did you come across this?
I saw him live. I was at the Wisconsin Presenters Network a year ago, June, and he was one of the showcases that was presented, and I fell in love with him immediately. He is so unique. Mm-hmm. Like he said, he can't stand still on stage.
Yeah.
He's all over the stage, and his voice has been described as liquid velvet, and that is spot on. He is just so entertaining, and I love big band music anyway, but what he does with it is so unique.
You know, we had a Christmas show, I think maybe in 2013, Tonic Solfa, and he was one of the three in that group, and they did a student outreach with us that year, one of those years around that time, so he's been here before.
Sally, I know how important it is to get the youth involved, to educate the youth, especially when it comes to the arts to you, and I get that, and I think as much as it means to me, to you and I and everything, for Eric, I imagine it's a different level. It has a different meaning to it. It's a part of your passion, being able to teach kids and keeping them in this industry and keeping this industry with young people involved in it and everything, what you do and what even what Sean does or what Sally does or anybody involved in this. When it comes to having somebody like this, who you hear him talk about how he is like he's taking voice lessons every week. He's still doing these things. A guy at his level still working to get better. What kind of example is that to young people?
Well, certainly, you know, it's to never give up. But I think, as with any industry, and I say it and think it a lot, is that the more you know about something, the less you know. And so as soon as you start to scratch the surface, you're like, okay, you know, I'm starting to get the hang of this. I know the terminology. I understand some of the philosophy and, you know, inner workings of this. But then you get to a new level of, wow, you know, maybe I don't understand this as well as I thought, and there's a whole nother depth of this, and, you know, how can I branch out from where I'm at? And it just kind of keeps getting deeper and deeper from there. And I think the same is true of any discipline, whether it's voice or, you know, your instrument. I mean, the voice is an instrument, and so there's always probably more to learn about it. And certainly being an instrument of yourself and your body, I'm sure there's always more to explore.
Eric, when it comes to setting the stage for a band like this, not only Sean, but obviously the big band experience there, is there different things that you got to prepare for a band like this, a band this size?
Well, they kind of are self-contained. You know, they're coming with their horns. Mm-hmm. I believe they come with a drum kit. All they've requested is a piano. So we provide that tuned. And, you know, we're just providing the lighting. So, you know, it's not that, like, large of a band. We're not talking 30 pieces or anything that. But nonetheless, this particular show, being somewhat acoustic in nature with amplified vocals, you know, there's not a lot of auxiliary gear that needs to be ported in.
Eric, I'll be talking with you more off air about my one-man show that I want to do over at the PAC. I just want to perform on that stage so bad. It opened right after I graduated, man. It's not fair. I've always wanted, it's just such a beautiful stage. Thank you, Erica, for that. Sally, when it comes to this student outreach program, can we tell people, remind people about that again and what that is?
Absolutely. We're actually doing it the day after, the morning after, 10 a.m. It will be held at the Performing Arts Center, and I have contacted a lot of local schools, but if there's anyone who is interested in attending, please call me at 715-424-2787 and we'll reserve you a spot. So it'll be about an hour long and he'll be working with the students during that time.
I talked to you about this on air, off air. I'm so appreciative of you and the Performing Arts Center of bringing these amazing acts that you could see in Milwaukee or Chicago or that, and we get them right here in Rapids. You don't got to travel 2 hours. You go 5 minutes and you could see them. We're so spoiled with that. The only thing that is bigger than that to me is these workshops. And imagine being a kid and you are interested in arts or you're in any of this stuff and you get to meet like somebody like Sean or some of the amazing other people that have done workshops here. I would have killed for that opportunity as a kid. I think it's just amazing that we can offer that to our youth out here. It's a heck of a thing, Sally, and we really appreciate you and these artists being able to do that. The PAC hosting these, it's such a unique opportunity. So thank you again for that.
Well, and I'd also like to thank the Mead-Witter Foundation. Mm-hmm. They are partnering with us this season to cover the expenses for all of the outreaches.
We also have another sponsor for this particular performance we want to mention.
Yes, absolutely. Aaron and G. Herman's Plumbing and Heating.
Yeah. Good people, good organization. Buy local, support local, everybody. Like they support us, we want to support them. Mm-hmm. Again, when it comes to this show, Sally, I feel like you guys, we've covered quite a bit here when it comes to Sean. Is there anything I'm missing? Is there anything you think that we just haven't even touched on to give this audience more encouragement and more fun to look forward to when it comes to the Sean Johnson and Big Band experience?
Well, you know, we didn't mention student tickets for $10. Those are always available. So call the Arts Council to get student tickets. So take your family for, you know, what I'd say is a pretty fair rate for adults and to bring your kids. $10 a piece for student tickets, always bring your student ID. And I think that maybe extends even through college as long as there's a student ID.
Cool.
As long as there's a student ID, we'll honor the $10 tickets. And that's a really great deal to see some of this entertainment.
I'd have been listening to this interview this weekend and kicking myself if I didn't mention that. Thank you, Eric. Thank you for that.
And I just want to encourage people, if you haven't heard of Sean Johnson and the Big Band Experience, take a chance because you won't be sorry.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You are going to be so entertained by this young man and this great performance. The band is no slouch either. He's got a great, tight band behind him. It's going to be an enjoyable process. And you're going to be able to take in some of these songs that you've loved with a different style and some other songs that you've never heard in this style that I think you might end up becoming even bigger fans of that version. Again, Sean Johnson going to be performing October 12th at the Performing Arts Center right here in Wisconsin Rapids. Find out more at SavorTheArts.com, SavorTheArts.com. Thank you both very much for the time. A big thank you again to Sean for joining us. Looking forward to talking again real soon.
Thanks, James.
Thank you. We'll be back with more Midday Magazine right here on WFHR, locally grown radio.
Locally grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
For WFHR and WIRI, I'm Melissa Kay. Here's what you need to know in Central Wisconsin. The Wisconsin DNR reminds hunters to test their deer for chronic wasting disease before eating venison. Infected deer can look healthy for many months after catching the disease. The Wisconsin Department of Health Services encourages testing regardless of the physical condition of a harvested deer, especially in areas with reported cases of CWD. To date, there have been no reported cases of CWD infection in humans. Roadwork projects are progressing in Wisconsin Rapids. Crews will tentatively be paving sections of Oak Street and 9th Avenue North next week. The work on the sewer and water lines on Broadway Street are expected to be completed this week. The underground utility work on Broadway Street began on Tuesday and is expected to take about 2 weeks to complete. City crews should be able to start pavement removal and replacement on 32nd Street between Washington and Franklin late next week. I'm Melissa Kay, Civic Media News.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Lows dip down to about 57. Tonight, under partly cloudy skies, winds out of the south, 5 to 10 miles per hour. A blend of clouds and sun again. Tomorrow, slight chance for scattered showers. Highs level off around 80. Partly cloudy skies. Tomorrow night, slight chance for scattered storms. Lows dip down to about 63. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 68.
Welcome, everyone, to Midday Magazine for this September 29th, 2023. I have your host, James Jay, here. I am joined by our great friend, Reverend Beth Habhegger from the Wisconsin Rapids Moravian Church. Beth, good to see you.
Good to see you, too.
Thanks for being here. We always appreciate the time. How have you been?
Doing okay.
Good, good.
Getting ready for something big going on at the church.
Yeah. Let's talk about that, Beth. We've got the big event, the community book sale, coming up on October 12th and 13th, along with the bag sale on October 14th. Mm-hmm. Beth, if you don't mind, I'd like to approach this one because this is a big event in our community. Mm-hmm. But let's treat this like somebody out there is listening that has never heard of it before.
Okay.
Let's explain to them what this event is and how important it is.
So this is a book sale that's been going on for probably around 20 years or so. Mm-hmm. It started with the Association of University Women, who did it in the old mall. And all of the funds, all of the profits that are raised from this book sale go towards a scholarship at Mid-States Technical College. Mm-hmm. So what they found is they needed a new location, so they came to the church. Mm-hmm. And when they came to the church, one of our members was a part of that association, and that's how it got to our church. Mm-hmm. And then the ladies all started to get a little bit older, and they couldn't do it anymore, and our church saw the value, so we took it over. And so we collect books throughout the summer, usually from about Memorial Day to either Labor Day. Mm-hmm. This year we extended it to the end of September. So today is pretty much the last day. Yeah. So this weekend that bin's going to come out, and we're not going to take any more books for this year. Mm-hmm. It will be back next year. So if you have books that you went, oh, I want to do it, put them someplace safe in your house. Yeah. You can bring them back next year. Mm-hmm. We'll take them next year. So we collect books. So all of the books that we sell are donated books so that we have 100% profit from the sale. Mm-hmm. And then we turn around, and for 3 days we open up our church basement and we sell books at a very reasonable prices. Most books are only going to be about a dollar. Children's books are less. So it's usually, I think, about 25 cents for a chapter book, 10 cents or something like that. I do have the price list somewhere around here. Mm-hmm. But you can come check it out, and then you'll find out how much they are. But they are very reasonably priced. So we sell them at full price for Thursday and Friday. And then Saturday, we give you the sale. So you will receive a paper bag when you arrive. And any book and all the books that you can fit into that paper bag are only $2. That entire bag.
It's so awesome. It's such a great way to do it. It's one of the communities I know celebrated events. This is one that I always see people that I never see until the community book sale, and that's when I run into them. I know how popular that part of it is and fun that part of it is. But I'm curious, this area comes through on these situations so well. Mm-hmm. How was the turnout this year for books donated?
We were concerned towards the beginning of the month, and now we're going, oh my goodness, we're getting more and more and more and more and more and more books. So we've got plenty. We've got a basement filled with books, and we're still getting books today and tomorrow. We've had some people contact us and say, I'm coming. So there will be plenty of books to choose from. And there are some people that donate brand new books. We have books from different libraries that have donated and some that people have loved and highlighted in. So you can find just about anything at the sale.
All genres are there. Yes. All types are there. That part of it is fun for young and old.
Yes.
It's great to be able to have that. One of the things that I love about this event every year is that I see a good amount of kids and a good amount of young people involved in it, too. It's nice to see reading these books, getting a second or a third or fourth life sometimes. Right. That part of it is cool. But if you don't mind, before we keep going with the book sale, I would like to just shift the focus a little bit to the Moravian Church.
Okay.
And why it's important to the Moravian Church and to Moravians to be a part of the community, to put back into the community.
Well, one of the bishops of the Moravian Church back in the 1700s, his name was John Amos Comenius. He was known for the longest time as the father of modern education. He was the first one to think to put pictures in children's books.
That's crazy.
And put the belief within our denomination that education isn't something that you finish with school. Mm-hmm. It is from the cradle to the grave. So every day of our lives, we are learning, we are growing, and we need opportunities to do that. He understood that mothers were the first educators. They're the ones that teach their children, and so women should be educated. Mm-hmm. So the denomination has founded colleges and schools throughout the centuries, throughout the world, and so reading is a part of that, and to be able to give that gift of reading. And then the bonus is the money's going towards a scholarship, and we've designed the scholarship to be for a non-traditional student. Mm-hmm. So this year, the recipient that received the scholarship is a second career gentleman who is going back to school to further his education. So it's really an all-encompassing way for us to live out what we say we believe.
Mm-hmm. And I'll be honest with the audience. I've talked with Beth off air about this a little bit, so I may have known the answer a little. But that is part of it all ties together. And while I am not Moravian myself, there is so much about in talking with you and Seth and learning more about it that I just admire and I like to bring attention to whenever we have an opportunity. And this event itself really brings attention to it.
The more I talk to people who have no clue what the Moravians are until they meet me, the more I hear you are like the best kept secret in the world. And in a lot of ways we are.
And all of this is great and everything we've already covered is really good. But Beth, we can't get too far into the interview and not mention the baked goods.
Right.
There's only the greatest baked goods in human history are always at churches and church people making them. It's my opinion.
Yes.
I'm not even a churchgoer and I'm saying that because it's good stuff.
Those that came in the past will know that we have a hospitality station. And so we have a couple of comfy chairs and we'll have baked goods made by the members of the congregation. So you got good church lady baked goods there with coffee and we'll have some juice and things like that. We'll also have a children's table. So we'll have some activities for the kids to do at the table, crayons and coloring books and activity books so that kids can keep occupied while mom and or dad are looking at the other books. And the nice thing about our setup is, and we've changed it a bit this year from the years past, but we try to organize it like you would find in the library. So we'll have posters hanging from the ceiling with what category those books are. So if there's a certain type of book you're looking for, you know where to go to find that book. Our stage down there is only children and young adults. So you know if you want something that's for the kids, that's where you need to go. We've shifted where we're having our checkout because usually we have it within the space of the books, but we want to have more space for hospitality and for books.
Yeah.
So that's going to be moved to outside of where our elevator is, which is a great segue to tell you we have an elevator so that we are accessible for anybody of any physical ability. We've got a ramp that leads in. We've got the elevator that'll get you there. Checkout is going to be easy. So it's going to be set up slightly different, but you'll know where to go because we're going to have signs everywhere to help direct people. And in fact, this year we're adding a greeter. So as you come in the door of the church, there will be somebody there smiling, welcoming you, and directing you where you need to go.
Is it one of the boys? Did you get one of the kids doing it?
They're at school for most of Thursday and Friday. But no, they are some of the wonderful members of our congregation that you will have a chance to get to meet.
Very cool. And thank you very much for mentioning, too, the accessibility. I was talking to somebody about not only this event, but other events in the community. community, and I don't feel like I do a good enough job covering that when that is the case. Going forward, I'll be better about that and being able to include that more, because we want more people involved in these, and I certainly want our people with any disabilities to be able to take part in these events just as much. It's cool to see when we have nonprofits, when we have businesses and people paying attention to that and caring about that. And the space is certainly enough at the church for this event. With that, and you've touched on this a little bit already, Beth, but for this event, it's been around a long time. Are there other differences about the event? Say, if you've been there in years past, but maybe you haven't been there in a year or two or whatever, and certainly with COVID, things have changed up a bit. Are there other changes that people should be aware of?
Yes, we now take plastic. So you don't have to come with cash, and you don't have to worry about hitting an ATM before you get to the building. We take credit and debit cards. So that is always an option as well.
And again, going back to the sale or the price of these books, you know, you could bring $5, like actual $5 cash. I don't know if people remember what cash is, but if you could actually bring the physical $5 and come away with a huge haul. This is not something that's going to cost you an arm and a leg.
No.
It's all about you getting a certainly bang for your buck, but putting that buck into a great scholarship program, which puts back into our youth and benefits all of us.
And the book gets a second life.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
a wonderful thing. And if you are struggling and still are possibly interested, one of the things we're doing this year is we've created gift certificates. So if you have money and you're like, well, I know so-and-so doesn't, but maybe they would benefit, let us know at the church. We can sell you a gift certificate and you can give that to that person. And to help our listeners a little bit, we are donating 2 gift certificates to be given away by both, one by WFHR and one by WIRI.
Cool.
So on the week of the book sale, be listening and you will have a chance to win a $10 gift certificate to be used this year at our book sale.
I love that. I'm learning about that as you guys are. That's awesome. That's a great idea. I love that. We cannot wait to do that. We love giving things away, but giving things away with you guys and other nonprofits, we love being a part of that. Thank you for including us in that. That's
absolutely.
A great idea. Well, that you are helping with us and helping our community. How can we help you, Beth? Are there volunteers or anything you guys are in need of with the sale?
Absolutely. If you are interested in helping us out, we usually have 2 or 3 people at the checkout so that we can kind of help keep the flow going. We've had people coming in to help sort books. If that's something you're interested in, we're going to need to keep sorting our books as we receive them. So just give us a call at the church and we would be glad to let you know how we could use you. That number is 715-423-0180.
Speaking with Reverend Beth Habhager from the Wisconsin Rapids Moravian Church, talking about our community book sale coming up. And Beth got something fun, a new addition to this as well.
Yes.
Want to tell people about.
We are starting this year selling canvas bags for $2.50. It's a beautiful blue bag. It's not the traditional canvas bag that you think of, but it's something that you can reuse for groceries and things like that. So it's a little bit wider than it is tall. And so I found that's great for cereal boxes and things like that.
Interesting.
So if you like something like that, and if you're only buying a couple books at the sale and you want something to take them home in, then you can, for $2.50, buy a canvas bag.
Boy, it is. If there is one thing we love canvas bags, and we love bags that we can reuse.
Yes.
We love being able to repurpose these bags and use them for other things. And it's no small thing that when you're walking around with these bags, when you have this stuff, you are a billboard. You are advertising and helping promote some of our local nonprofits, some of the events that they have. And it's always interesting to me if I see somebody in a like-minded shirt or something like that. You kind of, hey, and you look at it. It feels good. It's nice to be a part of that. And it feels good not only being a part of this event, but the continuation of it, that kind of thing. The event may only be for a couple of days, but the feelings you get from it will last you all year long, if not longer. It's a fun event.
Well, we feel we're a part of the community and we want to be seen in the community. So this is one way that we can do that.
You guys are always looking at other ways to do that kind of thing as well. And you have a new event coming up?
We do. This Sunday, a member of our congregation came up with this wonderful idea. We're hosting what's called an Autumn Joyride at 2 p.m. And so it's an opportunity and a celebration to celebrate the rides that we love. We'll have some classic cars in our parking lot. We're going to have have a slideshow that people have submitted with things that they enjoy riding in. So not only do we have cars, we've got some wagons, we've got tractors, we've got a hot air balloon that the church sponsored one year. And those are pictures that you'll see. And then we've encouraged members, if they didn't feel taking their comfortable taking their pictures out of the frames, we'll have a couple of tables with framed pictures as well, and there'll be refreshments. So again, you'll get a chance to enjoy some beverages and some baked goods by ladies in the congregation.
Yeah, you have baked goods.
So it's a wonderful new event. It's going to begin at 2 o'clock. The slideshow will be presented probably sometime between 2:30 and 2:45.
Not maybe your traditional kind of car show or anything, but as we've seen, even going back before the pandemic, but especially the pandemic, we lost a lot of our classic car shows. We've lost quite a few of those kind of events where we know so many people in Wisconsin, so many people in Midwest, they got these nice cars, they want to take them out, and we only get it like 3 weeks a year we can bring them out. Having another event like that, that's just great for those fans of that and interested in those hobbies.
Right.
But there's the other part of this too, where the history part of it that I find really interesting too for people, and certainly young people being able to take in the event and getting a little bit of a history lesson from some of this.
Well, and it's been interesting talking to members of the congregation as we've explored what this could be. I sat with a 90-year-old member of my congregation that said, I remember riding in a Ford with one of the rumble seats in the back, and it turned out to be like a 1931 Model A, I think it was. We were able to find online a picture of that car, which will now be included in the show. So we're looking forward. It's October 1st. It's this coming Sunday from 2 to 4 p.m.
With an event like this, Beth, you mentioned that one of your great people there came up with this. Are you guys doing a lot of that kind of thing where you're talking to board members, you're talking to members of the Congress and about different events or things
to do? Absolutely. We have members that come up with ideas. We have another member that works with a blood organization, a blood donation organization, and we've hosted a blood drive for them, and we're looking and discussing the possibility of doing that in the future. We were approached with the idea of the Winter's Farmers Market, which we will be bringing back and starting this fall instead of waiting until January. So October is our busy month, so we've got the Joyride coming up this Sunday, and then we've got the book sale, the 12th, 13th, and 14th, and then the 21st, that very next Saturday, is when we will be opening up our doors for the Winter's Farmers Market that runs, I believe, from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. every Saturday, except for, you know, Thanksgiving weekend, holidays, that kind of thing.
You just can't help yourself. You had a busy summer, and now you're just going to go right into fall. Just keep that busy going. We did want to talk a little bit about Grace as well.
Yes. So Grace is the Greater Rapids Area Churches for Ecumenism, and we are denominations that are trying to work together for the good of the communities in which we serve. So we did a walkathon last May to raise funds to help pay off school debt, and we raised over $2,500.
That's awesome.
To go towards the Nacoosa school system. This year we've picked Lincoln and the Wisconsin Rapids school system, so we are going to be doing some things, and one of those is a community Thanksgiving service that's going to be hosted at the Port Edwards United Methodist Church. So that'll be the Sunday before Thanksgiving, which I believe is the 19th of November, and it'll be at 6 o'clock in the evening, so we encourage you to come out. We will be taking a offering as part of that, and that all of that those funds will be used to help pay off the school food service debt here in Wisconsin Rapids. And then as a community again in December, the Wednesday before Christmas, which I believe is December 21st, again, it'll be probably around 6 o'clock in the evening. We're going to have a Blue Christmas service hosted at the Moravian Church, but all of the churches will be invited to participate. And that's a service to help those specifically who are grieving, but others who may be struggling even in what's supposed to be a joy season with some heavy stuff, so that we can recognize that just because it's a happy season doesn't mean that all of our problems have gone away. And it's a wonderful service to kind of claim that grief and still celebrate Christmas.
Growing up, I just seem to have a lot of bad moments happen either on Christmas or Christmas Eve or around that time. Mm-hmm. And it's only been in the last 4 or 5 years that I've started to kind of, for myself, reclaim Christmas. Yeah. I don't want it to have these bad feelings associated with it anymore. And a lot of this, I can't imagine how much sooner I might have come to that if I was brave enough to lean on other people, mm-hmm. if I was brave enough to have something like this available and take advantage of it. Cannot encourage people enough. This is the safest of safe environments, mm-hmm. and it's an opportunity to find out that you're not alone.
Right.
And you don't have to go through these things alone. That's not the human experience, and that's not the community that we have. We're here for you, and we want you to come and take in these events.
Right. The word that I would use for a service like this is a bittersweet.
Yeah.
So it allows us to claim the bitter even in the midst of the sweet. You know, it's a balance.
Yeah. And when you're talking about grace, I honestly could spend hours talking with you about this. I'm so proud of this. I'm so encouraged by it. You know, getting to meet Terry early on and talking with Terry, United Way's CEO, one of the things I realized in talking to her is how much better this area has gotten, that they're not crabs in a barrel anymore. It's not this nonprofit and this nonprofit fighting for this dollar.
Right.
It's this nonprofit and nonprofit working together for that dollar.
Mm-hmm.
Our community is made that much stronger when we work together, when
right.
we show how connected we are. For our churches to do that, that's another level. That is incredibly impactful, mm-hmm. and reaches more than I think even you and I can realize,
right.
Beth.
It's an opportunity for us to realize that for us, it's the same God that we're all worshiping. Mm-hmm. We may be doing it differently. We may have different theologies that go to that, but it's the same God, and we're all trying to help God's people. So let's come together and find ways that we can do that together, mm-hmm. because together we are stronger.
If people are listening out there and they are not already a part of Grace, can they be? Can they reach out to you? Is that something that's possible?
It's an organization of churches, so it's representatives from different congregations.
Sorry, I meant other congregations, not just like me. Like,
but
I just
any congregation in the community, whether it's in Rapids itself or one of the surrounding communities, any of those congregations are welcome to be a part of this organization.
And Beth, I have my dad's voice in the back of my head reminding me to make sure that we mention the YouTube page that he loves and that he's subscribed to. We encourage you to subscribe to. Go to your YouTube page and type in there, Wisconsin Rapids Moravian Church. You will have their great site pop up. Be sure to subscribe to their page and keep up to that, because you guys do some great work with that, Beth.
We do our best. You know, YouTube channel is Wisconsin Rapids Moravian Church. We then try to post the previous couple of Sunday services on our website as well. So you can always check us out at wrmoravian.org. And it's a wonderful place to get more information about the book sale, about the winter's market, about the autumn joyride, about many, many different activities that we have going on at the church.
And when it comes to your services on Sunday, you will take all comers.
Yes.
And it's so appreciated. I know in particular my father, now that his hip is getting better, he's looking to get down there and everything.
Oh, I would love to have him come for worship.
So, and while he is not Moravian, he knows that he is welcome there.
Absolutely.
And I champion that so much. I think it's such a beautiful thing to be able to offer to people.
Well, and this Sunday in particular is World Communion Sunday.
Yes.
So it's a wonderful way to show that we're all one. And mm-hmm. so it doesn't matter if you're coming to the Moravian Church, to the Methodist Church, to the Episcopal Church, anywhere. This is a Sunday. All denominations are encouraged and invited to share in communion. And so we will be celebrating that. And this year it's extra special for me because my dad is actually visiting this weekend. And for those of you who don't know, my dad is a retired Moravian mm-hmm. pastor, has served some of the churches in this area.
Wow.
And we get to serve communion together.
Mm.
So it's going to be extra special for me, and I hope people have an opportunity to use it as an opportunity to gather in fellowship with other Christians.
Well, at least you got me all teary-ed and everything in the last couple of minutes, so I'm not all struggling the whole interview. That's beautiful. That hit my heart. That's beautiful. I hope you guys have a wonderful time
Thank
on
you.
Sunday. That's great. Let's remind people one more time about the Autumn Joyride and then the community book sale.
So the Autumn Joyride is this Sunday, October 1st from 2 to 4 p.m. You can come, and it's just a time of fellowship, and there'll be a presentation of different pictures. And then our book sale starts October 12th and 13th from 8:30 a.m. to 6 p.m. And then our bag sale will be on Saturday, October 14th from 8:30 a.m. to 2 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
And then starting October 21st on Saturdays, we have our Winter's Farmers Market.
Yeah, yeah. Be on the lookout for that, everybody. I didn't get to touch on it enough, but thank you for bringing that back earlier, for hosting that. You not only help our ag industry and our vendors, you help our community with these kind of events, and a big shout out to all the people participating as well. And Beth, if people want to volunteer with any of these events or help out or just know more, how can they find out more? How can they reach you?
You can contact us at the church. It's 715-423-0180. And then you could also email me at wrmcpastor@gmail.com.
And again, wrmoravian.org is the website. Be sure to bookmark that page. It's a great website where you can find out all the information about this and more with our Wisconsin Rapids Moravian Church. Always a good time talking with you, Beth. Thanks so much.
Thanks for having us, me and James.
Yeah, I appreciate you. Thank you also to the producer really around here of Midday Magazine and the heart of WFHR, Pam Hilke, and the fantastic job she does scheduling week in and week out. We appreciate you, Pam. Thank you so much. Thank you to all of you out there for downloading the podcast, for checking it out live on the radio, and for spreading the word about this great show. Spread the word. Let more and more people know about Midday Magazine from 3 to 4, Tuesday through Friday, right here at WFHR. Have a great weekend, everybody. We'll talk to you soon and later, right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, locally grown radio.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM, and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Keep up on the day's news, talk, and sports on Wisconsin's home for locally grown radio, 97.5 FM, and WFHR, 1320 AM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Christopher Cruz. It's looking more and more like a government shutdown will happen, something Coast Guard spouse Alice Silver isn't happy about.
Make a decision, get their stuff together and think about us real people who have real problems and real bills to pay.
Members of the Coast Guard and the military would work without a paycheck. A bill that would have kept the government open has been defeated, said CBS's Scott McFarlane.
There's been this faction ranging between 5 and 20 members of the House Republican Conference who have opposed Speaker McCarthy, at first opposed his speakership, then opposed some of his procedures, opposed some of the deals he cut, and opposed his operation of this spending bill from the jump. And when they came to a continuing resolution today, this plan to just keep the lights on another 30 days, the votes weren't there.
Rain drenched parts of the Mid-Atlantic to the Northeast today. New York City was inundated. Mayor Eric Adams.
If you are home, stay home. If you are at work or school, shelter in place for now. Some of our subways are flooded, and it's extremely difficult to move around the city.
CBS's Matt Piper is out in it.
More than half a foot of rain has fallen throughout many of the boroughs here in New York City. It is just a really wet, damp, dreary day, and the National Weather Service believes that more rain fell today than has ever been recorded here in New York City.
There's been an arrest and indictment in the shooting and killing of rapper Tupac Shakur in Las Vegas in 1996. Las Vegas Sheriff Kevin McMahill.
For 27 years, the family of Tupac Shakur has been waiting for justice. We are here today to announce the arrest of 60-year-old Dwayne Keith Davis, a.k.a. Keefy D., for the murder of Tupac Shakur.
Davis is one of the last living witnesses to the murder. A longtime California senator has died.
I ask that the Senate observe a moment of silence in honor of Senator Dianne Feinstein.
Majority Leader Chuck Schumer today, Dianne Feinstein, was 90 years old. The auto worker strike is spreading, says CBS's Michael George.
With another 7,000 members now on the picket lines, there are 25,000 workers on strike in 21 states.
Our courageous members at these two plants are the next wave of reinforcements in our fight for record contracts.
UAW President Sean Fain did announce some progress in talks with Stellantis, the parent company of Chrysler and Jeep.
The Dow closed down 159 points, S&P 500 off 12, NASDAQ up 18. This is CBS News.
If you need to hire, you need Indeed, because Indeed's all-in-one hiring solution helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Wisconsin Decides 2024. The road to the White House begins here. And Civic Media delivered with all-day coverage of the first Republican presidential primary debate.
The only network with every show live from Milwaukee.
I could see a scenario where Trump squeaks by again. Will people on the left be willing to accept that?
Conversation you won't find anywhere else.
On your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
For WFHR and WIRI, I'm Melissa Kay. Here's what you need to know in central Wisconsin. A new partnership is working to increase cyber resiliency in the state. The Department of Military Affairs Division of Wisconsin Emergency Management and UW-Whitewater will collaborate to bolster cybersecurity in Wisconsin. The new agreement will allow them to work together to strengthen the state's cyber response team training program. The Cyber Response Team, or CRT, is a voluntary